Well, as we look ahead towards this coming year, I first want to start by having a little bit of a look at the year that's gone by. You know, we have no official AGM as a church, so this is a good chance to be able to update everybody on where we are, what's going on. Now, first of all, nothing has changed in terms of our purpose as a church. As we shared last year, it always has been, and it always will be based around these verses, the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. If we are not in that purpose, we have no reason to be here as a church. It's by this commandment, we call it a commission, but it's a commandment, that we judge everything. Every success and every plan we have as a church is judged with reference to that. Are people getting saved? Are people growing in discipleship? Are people getting baptized as a confirmation that they are saved and are a disciple of Jesus? Are people growing in their faith and learning to obey all that Jesus commanded? And are we experiencing as a church, I am with you? Are we people of His presence and His Holy Spirit? If we look back just over the past year, if we look back over this past year, the teaching in this church has all been about what's in that statement. First of all, in His presence, was all about the presence of God in our lives and when we come together as a church. It was about, I am with you, even to the end of the age. The road to Calvary and the end times, they were both about teaching obedience, about discipleship, about building us up and discipling the church. Walking in the Spirit was focused on the role that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. Lions of the Faith was designed to inspire us so that we can achieve great things for God, to show us that any person can be used. The key is to be willing and to be obedient. And of course, Kingdom Come, that we... Oops, I went backwards, sorry. My fault. Hold on. There we go, I'm all thumbs. And Kingdom Come, of course, which we ended the year with, was all about prayer. A key part in discipleship. We held one encounter weekend last year, and another one was postponed until this coming May. Let me tell you, if you've not been on an encounter weekend, please put your names down. And also, this next encounter weekend, we're going to be running alongside it on the same weekend, a re-encounter, which is the re stands for revival, a revival encounter weekend, which will be at the same time. So if you've already been on an encounter weekend, please put your names down for that one. It will be an important weekend, I really believe. Especially the re-encounter is going to be very important to the life of us as a church. Last year, we saw numerical growth within the church. We saw a rise, actually, in our attendance on a Sunday of around about 12%. I think it actually might be 11 point something, but it rounded up, which I'm quite happy to do. We saw a rise of about 12% in our average attendance over the year. Our current weekly average is around about 104 people, which is a 12% increase from the year before, which is wonderful. God's really blessing, and God's doing great things. And I have to say, if everybody ever came all at once, it would be higher than that. And that's great. Now, if we include the people at Stockton, those who don't come to Billingham on a morning, then our weekly reach is around about, at the moment, 126 people, which is wonderful. It really is great. We saw 8 people this year baptized, most of whom, not all of whom, but most of whom came to faith in a way that was connected to the Connect groups. And that's amazing. That's really great. The discipleship groups have begun to find a good footing. And whenever a new person comes into the church now, we're well positioned to have that person connected and discipleshiped in the right way. Let me tell you, we've never been in a position where we've been able to say that. Now, it mightn't be true in every case, but I've got to say we're in a stronger position than we've ever been to be able to do that. We have these new welcome bags for somebody who comes for the first time. Hopefully anyone who comes for the first time, it gets noticed and they get a welcome bag. In here is a little gift and a DVD that tells you a little bit about the church, a leaflet that explains who we are. And the idea is this doesn't just get handed to somebody, but somebody gives it to you and has a conversation with you and welcomes you to the church. So we have those for people who come for the first time. Now, they're not evangelistic. They are just to let people know they're welcome here. We also have a decision card for someone who does make a decision. And we make sure that if somebody makes a decision in a meeting, somebody will take them to one side, go through this with them, give them the Why Jesus leaflet, and that person will be contacted after the meeting as well. In fact, the person who takes them to one side may very well become the person who is going to disciple them from that way forward. We also have introduced this year, just started, is we have a new Christians course. The idea of this is disciplers will take a new Christian and they will go through that course with them on a one-to-one basis that starts to form the bond that discipler has with them. And the stuff in there really provides a grounding in the faith. I don't know if you can read what issues are covered there, but it's about becoming a Christian, what is the church, baptism, the Bible, witnessing, all kinds of stuff. So it's a firm grounding in the faith for people. And of course, the discipler should also make sure that this new convert is booked onto the next encounter weekend, where they'll receive even more grounding and issues will be dealt with that might have otherwise not been dealt with. So as you can see, we have something in place to take people from the first time they come in to salvation to a grounding in the faith. We have a system in place. Now, a system is only ever as good as how we implement it. But we have something in place now. In this past year, we've handed over the role of senior leader, and I am so thankful to God that it has been a smooth transition within this church. I don't think we appreciate fully how rare that is. That we have had no upheaval, we've had no fallout. God has blessed it, and it's all on God. God has really blessed the transition in this church, and I am so grateful to God. Thank you, Father, for looking after us as a church. We were also joined last year by our amazing Youth for Christ team, who were doing a great work getting involved in the youth and doing local schools work. And I understand that our younger youth have seen new kids coming in as a result of them being in the schools, and as they begin to be in the senior schools this year more and more, we're going to see that in the youth as well, I believe. And that's, yeah, you can clap that, that's good. However, I do have a little bit of sad news. Ashley, would you care just to stand for a moment? Ashley is going to be moving on to another work in Middlesbrough. They need her in Middlesbrough. So unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to Ashley. And I just want to honour you, Ashley. You've done a great work. You've really been part of us. And we'll miss you. We'll miss you. And we love you. So let's just honour Ashley for the work she's done. However, we do have somebody else who might not want to stand up in her first week, but we do have Abigail who is joining us this week. Let's give Abigail a round of applause. Abigail is going to be taken on from Ashley, so we still have a team of four, and that's wonderful. So we're looking forward to working with you, Abigail, and thank you so much, Ashley, for the time you've been here. Also with the youth, Ros and Tom have stepped down from their involvement with the youth now, and we are extremely grateful to the years they've given to the youth. Ros, do you want to stand as well? I know Tom's not here, but Ros, let's just honour Ros as well. Roz has been doing the youth for how long? It's about 100 years now. And I'm very excited for what God has for Roz next. We've talked a bit about it, and I'm very excited for that new ministry that Roz is going to get involved with. So that's, or hopefully going to get involved with. I don't want to be presumptuous. That Roz is going to get involved with. Meanwhile, in the youth, Tim and Karen are going to be taking on the reins as the responsible people for the youth. They're going to be heading that up, and I'm so grateful for them for stepping in there. They've had a lot of experience with the Trimden group, and they've got a real heart, and I've got to say, I know they're not here, so I can say it, but they've got the best kids. Oh, no, I knew you were here. I just knew your kids weren't here. I wouldn't say. They're going to be taking that on along with the Youth for Christ team and Emma and Greg. There's a good team of youth leaders there. We have a good team, and I'm really excited to see what God's going to do through all of you guys. So it's wonderful. We have, in the past couple of months as well, changed our material for the School of Ministry. The new material we're doing is called the Omega Course, and I've got to say, it's some of the best Bible teaching on the church that I have ever come across. It's wonderful. Let me encourage you, School of Ministry, it's really good material, and it's caused me to think about a lot of things we do in a completely new way. It's really great. Last year as well, still on last year, we got really excited about a building that didn't happen. And you know what? That's okay. We asked for God's will, and I believe we got God's will. But I tell you what, I was delighted with how the church board and the leadership worked together during that time. They put together a proposal that I think if the decision was being made on community merit, we'd have got it. I believe it was head and shoulders the best proposal that would have been put in there. We didn't get it, but that's okay. God has a better plan. So last year was a good year. This year, God has great plans ahead for us. Now, I want to start off with the general before I get into the specific vision that God has given me for this year. But let's just be a couple of general things first. First of all, in terms of plans and expanding our vision, this is going to be a busy year. It's the vision at New Life Church that wherever we are strong and wherever we have people, that we want to see the kingdom of God extended and have new life local to as many people as possible. We want to see Teesside saved. And that is going to take a much wider base for us to do that with. We already have Stockton, and last year we began to see outreach into Seaton Carew and Hartlepool at the Staincliffe Hotel, which you can see on that picture there. This year we're going to launch those meetings officially for outreach, once a fortnight to begin with, and then regularly every week. And I don't believe that's going to be too long in the future before that happens. Seaton has a population of 8,000 people, and in terms of church, not a lot going on. We also get to reach into Hartlepool from Seaton, and I'm really excited to see what God is going to do. Currently, we're meeting in the Grill restaurant, but I believe we're going to start to see growth there this year, and we're not going to fit in the Grill restaurant, and we'll be meeting in the ballroom, I believe, and hope, and say it in faith, before the end of this year. Also this year, we look ahead towards Middlesbrough. You know, in Middlesbrough, we have a strong Connect group. We have a good number of people from Middlesbrough. And it is the intention, I'll be careful how I say this, it's our intention to start something up in Middlesbrough this coming year. What it will look like and when that will happen, I don't know. Not at this stage. But there is a heart for Middlesbrough that we have. And this church, as the Lord leads us, we will see something happen in Middlesbrough. Do you believe that? I believe that. Now with the youth, I am so grateful to God that we have a Youth for Christ team. And I would love us, after this summer, to keep having a Youth for Christ team. Something that I want to, whether it's 4 again or whether it's 2, I don't know. But I would love to keep having a Youth for Christ team. But I'll be honest with you. I don't think the flat is the best way. I think it's a great flat, don't get me wrong. It's a lovely flat. I don't think that's the best way for us to move forward. I think having people in host homes is a better way. And it's certainly a cheaper way. because we did not budget to put the Youth for Christ team in a flat. We budgeted to bring them. We did not budget to put them in a flat. And my goodness, it shows. I would love to say we could put them in host homes. We'll do what we've got to do, don't get me wrong. We'll do what we've got to do. But I would love if we could get a Youth for Christ team into host homes in this coming year when we move out of this year. When we move out of the summer and we look towards a new team. If you are willing to be part of that, please just come and have a word with me sometime over the next few months. It'd be great to know if there's people willing to do that. I think we can see the value that they bring. Beforehand, when we asked, we couldn't see that because they hadn't arrived. But I think we can see the value in having them here. So let me encourage you. If you have a spare room and you'd be willing to do that, just come and have a word with me. It's not something we'd look at doing until the summer anyway. So come and have a word with me and we'll see if we can get that sorted. I also hope for the youth team to maybe start something up on a Sunday night with youth as we move ahead this year, but that's all very vague, and I don't want to go into any details because I've not really spoke to many people about it apart from the youth team, and so I don't really know how that's going to look or what happens, but what I want to see is a generation of young people in Billingham who bring glory to God, a generation of young people who are willing to make a stand for God, and I believe we're going to see that. Building-wise, well, in Billingham, we lost a lot of time last year on one building, on that library, and that's okay. We have a couple of options that we're looking at now, but I don't really want to go into them because I'm a little worried that if I do talk about them, at the end of the message, it's all we'll remember. So I don't want to go into too many details, but we are looking, and it is our intention not to be meeting in here on a Sunday, well, forever. I mean, it was never our intention to meet here forever. This is a wonderful facility for what we do here, but it's not the best place for church. Is that fair? So our intention is to look for another place. We do have a few possibilities, but that's as detailed as I dare go right now. And all of this is good stuff. And none of it is actually what I want to talk about this morning at all. See, we're here to talk about vision. And I can't talk about vision for this year without considering the overall. What is our end goal as a church? What is the vision of us as a church? You know, vision is important. And sharing vision is important. And it's important that we all get the vision. You know, vision is the difference between piling bricks on top of one another and building a dam to save a village. Both are the same thing. The difference is the vision. One is a chore. One has purpose. And it's the same for what we do in church. If we've got vision, it's not a chore. It has purpose. Vision will prioritize your values. A clear vision has the power to bring what is most important up to the surface. And our vision is summed up by the Great Commission that we read at the start of the meeting. But how does that look? What does that look like for Teesside? The vision is to see Teesside saturated with the gospel. For this area to be marinated in the kingdom of God. See, wherever God's people are, the kingdom is with them. Wherever the people of God go, the kingdom goes. So the more of God's people there are in a place, the more of the kingdom that place will experience. I will never forget the vision I saw for Teesside of driving up the A19, and instead of seeing that chemical cloud, we're seeing a glory cloud. I'll never forget it. Because I believe God was saying something to me when he showed me that. That this area can be different. This area can be changed by the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hear church leaders all across Teesside talking about a Teesside revival. We went to a Thanksgiving thing at the Oakwood with the Youth for Christ team. And most of them were talking about revival in Teesside. Let me tell you, it is so encouraging to know so many churches are getting ready. And every single one of us as a church, all of the churches, we've all got a part to play. And I am believing for a day where every single street in Teesside has Christians in it. Active Christians in it. Every single street in Teesside. Can you imagine the difference that would bring? Can you imagine what Teesside would be like with spirit-filled, active Christians in every single street? Let me tell you, it's a big goal, but it is not an unreasonable goal. Why not aim big? Let me tell you, it's big, but God is bigger. Why would we not make a goal big? God is willing that none may perish. So it is not unreasonable at all, because it's what God wants to do. We serve a big God. In fact, it's unreasonable to think small. Because if we think small, we're suggesting God is small. A small goal is actually an insult to God, as if somehow God can't handle it. A great God deserves a great church with a great big goal and what it can do for him. Now notice I said Christians in every street, not a Christian. You know, there's 500 about streets in Billingham, if Billingham banter is correct, which I'm not, it might not be. A few Christians in each street. Active Christians in each street, filled with the Spirit and reaching out to their community, to their street. Let me tell you, that's got to be the dream. That's got to be the goal, to see Christians reaching out in every single part of Teesside. You know, there's 500 streets in Billingham-ish. That's just Billingham. Stockton's got a lot more streets than Billingham. Hartlepool and Middlesbrough have more streets than Billingham. And let me tell you, New Life Church Teesside has a part to play in the purposes of God. And if New Life Church Teesside has a part to play, every single one of us has a part to play in the purposes of God. It will take more than us, absolutely, but it will take all of us. Let me tell you, revival does not happen by accident. It is a sovereign move of God in partnership with a praying, active and willing church. So if we want revival, then we need to become that willing, praying, active church. When the Great Commission is our focus, when it's our reason not just for existing as a church, but our reason for existing, this goal becomes possible. And that is the challenge to all of us. The Great Commission was not given to a select few. It is a mission given to all of us, not a serving suggestion for whoever wants it. You know, we can all have an individual call of God on our lives, and some of us might have found that yet, some of us might not. But let me tell you, this one's given to everybody. It is God's plan for each of us to participate in the Great Commission. There is no get-out clause for the Great Commission. There's no hidden loophole. Now, you might be too busy for that. But let me tell you, if you are too busy for the kingdom of God, you're too busy. And it's got to change. Maybe there's more pressing concerns in your life than what God is asking you to do. Well, if there's more pressing concerns in your life than what God is asking you to do, let me tell you, you've got an idolatry problem. I don't mean to be harsh about it, but our priorities very easily get skewed and get wrong. And we can get very concerned living about the wrong things. Listen, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 6. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. and his righteousness. And all of that other stuff works itself out. Now, that's a bit of a paraphrase, but you get the idea. It's a matter of perspective. And let me tell you, from down here, we don't get the proper perspective. But as C.T. Studd's poem that we read during the Lions of the Faith series said, there's only one life. 'Tis gone so fast. Only what's done for Christ will last. So that's the end goal. That's the big goal. That's the ultimate aim. But what about now? What about this year? What do I believe God is saying to us as a church and individuals this year? Well, it's this. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Last year was a year of transition. This year is a year of preparation. And there's two particular areas that God is calling us to get ready in. The first one is prayer. You do not get revival without a praying church. It just doesn't happen. Now you can shrink that down. You don't have a church that's successful in evangelism if they're not praying. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says this, and I'm sure we all know this verse. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. When my people, his people, then he will hear from heaven and heal their land. The if is connected to the then. No if fulfilled, nor then realized. This area, this land, this Teesside, it needs healing. You know, just this year, not this year, it's last, still confusing. Last year, we saw two major industries from Teesside gone. This area feels like it's been abandoned by the government. This area needs to know it is not abandoned by God. This area needs the hope that God alone offers. And we need to pray for that. Isaiah 57:6, it says, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. My house shall be called a house of prayer. That is the call to us as a church. That is what God wants this place to be. A house of prayer for all nations. And in the past year, we saw some great strides towards this. We had the 24 hours prayer meeting. We had a 24-hour prayer chain. Our last series, it was all focused on the importance of prayer. That wasn't an accident. That was on purpose. Because as a church, we need to pray. We need to pray together, and we need to pray apart. This coming year, prayer will become more and more important to what we are doing as a church. We will continue to have those prayer events that we've been having. We will continue to have more types of prayer events going on. We will have prayer walks across this area. All battles are lost and won in the secret place. And the battle for Teesside is no different to that. The Billion and Powerhouse will start again this week on Friday from midday until 1:30. And that's when it will continue every week, Friday, midday to 1:30. Now that is, I've noticed, a lunchtime. So it might not just be a time of prayer, it might be a time of fasting as well. That's not a bad thing. The Stockton Powerhouse met every single week last year without fail. I would love for the Billion and Powerhouse to do the same this year and for Stockton to keep up that great work. Prayer is going to be extremely important. Because God has given us a mission this year. And that mission is going to take a lot of work. But none of that work will mean anything without a bedrock of prayer for it to stand upon. What is that mission? Well, the second big focus for this year is evangelism. And I want to introduce how we're starting this year off. And it's with something we're calling New Year, New Life. Last year, in September, I took a day aside to hear from God. Incidentally, that's something we could all do with some time to do. Got away from everything, got away from here, and headed over to the hills near Osmotherley, which is some of the most gorgeous countryside in the world, I'd say. And I just had this simple prayer. God, please speak to me about what you want us to do as a church. I thought, Moses went up a mountain. I'm going to try and climb a hill. Thankfully, God spoke to me quite quickly because I don't think I would have made it up the hill. And I got so excited as I was walking when God started to speak that actually the walking became a lot easier. And as God expanded on what he'd said, the more excited I got. Because I heard it so clearly. It wasn't audible, but it was clear. God, how do we start the year? And the answer was, stop doing everything and just reach out. And that's quite an answer. Stop everything and just reach out for the first 2 months of the year. That's what I got. It was so clear. So, that is exactly what we're going to do. At first, I resisted this. Let me tell you, it is very hard as a pastor of a church to stop things. Especially the things that are going well. My first thought was, well, I can't stop the School of Ministry. That's really good. I can't stop the Connect groups. People are getting saved in the Connect groups. I can't stop the discipleship groups. That's really important. But no. Everything means everything. So for the months of January and February, there will be nothing in our midweek schedule. Nothing official. The Powerhouse prayer meetings will still happen, as they are going to provide prayer support for what's going on. And the focus of the prayer meetings is going to be this. And we will have some times of prayer scheduled during these months as well, because let me tell you, without prayer, it ain't going to happen. Why stop everything? Well, God wants us to use that time that we'd normally be doing stuff to reach out. God doesn't want us to have anything we can say, I don't have time to do that. The time that the church would normally ask for you to take up during the week is not there. Therefore, we have time. So instead, let's use that time to reach out. Use that time to meet new people. Use that time to get on the mission that God has called us to do. Every single Sunday during the months of January and February, the meetings on both the morning and the night, both at Billingham, at Stockton, and Seton Carew, there will be gospel-focused meetings. Every single one. Every single Sunday, you know if you bring somebody, the gospel is going to be preached. I can guarantee that it doesn't matter which Sunday meeting you bring somebody to in these 2 months, there will be a salvation testimony in that meeting. The gospel will be shared with consideration for those who know nothing about Jesus. And there will be, every meeting, an appeal or an opportunity for somebody to accept Jesus into their life. Every Sunday. At the end of these 2 months, the first weekend in March, we will have a baptism Sunday so that all those who've made a decision in these 2 months have an opportunity to get baptized. Now, this is only useful if people are invited. So I want to lay down a challenge to everyone in this room, to everyone watching on DVD or internet or whatever. In these 2 months, actually, not, let's not make it a challenge. Challenge sounds competitive. Let's make it a dream. Just imagine how wonderful it would be if during these 2 months, every one of us could bring somebody to God. Wouldn't that be amazing? Now, this isn't a command. This isn't a works-based thing. This isn't a competition. This is a what if? What if we could? What if we all tried in these 2 months to do something we've never done before in order to win the lost? What if all of us in these 2 months stepped out of our comfort zone? What if we used this extra time where the church isn't putting something on, and instead of wasting the time, which would be very easy to do, use it to reach people? What if we all rose to this? What if each of us could bring somebody into the kingdom of God? Can you imagine the impact that would have? And that is why we have cleared the weeks for these 2 months. Now, I am not saying that I expect all of us to succeed. And I am not saying there is something wrong with you if you don't end up winning someone. But what I am saying is, hey, let's give it a try. Let's take all of our focus, let's take all of our energy, and let's put it into reaping a harvest. Let's try every week to do something. Those of you who are part of a Connect group, which won't be meeting during this time, why not do something together as a support base? Or those of you who have discipleship groups, instead of meeting with your discipleship groups, why not do something together? Let's be creative and look for new ways to meet people, to interact with people, to tell people about Jesus, and to invite them to a meeting. What if each week we tried something we'd never tried before in order to reach someone? What if we made a focused, deliberate effort to try and reach somebody new every week? What if we all made a choice that this week I'm going to try something? Not something prescribed from up here, but something, not us telling you how, but something that comes from you, from your group or from other people where you can reach others. And what I'm going to do, I've got a list here. Can I have the communion stewards? Is that okay? If the communion stewards could just come forward. Do we know who the communion stewards are? 1, 2, 3, 4. That'll do. I'm going to give you one of these.
1, 2, 3. If you run out, there should be enough for everybody.
Now, all this is, let me be clear, is ideas. This is just a list of ideas. Don't look at them now, because we'll go over them in a minute anyway, so no need to look at them now. All this is a list of ideas. This isn't, these are the things we're expecting you to do. This is some thoughts, and I'm going to read through them now as they're coming out. So, just some thoughts. Number one, go out on the streets and speak to people. I know we've got people here who love to do that. Go out on the streets and speak to somebody. Let me tell you, not every one of these is going to be you. Some of these won't be you. Some of these might be you. What about visit someone you know who has a need and offer to pray for them? What if we invited somebody round to our house for a meal? Or we go out with them for a meal? You know, you can do that by yourself or you can do that with a group. What if we just prayed every morning, God, where do you want me to go today? God, lead me to somebody today. What about having a coffee morning in your home with some of your neighbours? How about we visit or call somebody we've not spoken to in a little while? Maybe someone who used to be here and has drifted from God. How about we get together with some others and we use... I'm going to get confused on how I say this. Plan to mass share certain evangelistic links on social media. So you all say, I'm going to share this one link at the same time and everybody will see it. Just, again, this is just ideas. Use social media to talk about what's happening. You know, talk about what's going on a Sunday here. Talk about New Year, New Life. You can even hashtag it if you're that kind of person. I don't know if any of us are that kind of person. Have social nights, like bowling or golf. Incidentally, has anyone got the sheet? Does it say golf or does it say gold? Good, because it said gold in my notes and I thought I'd got it wrong on those as well. Wonderful. Like golf or crazy golf. Something where you can bring people together. What about every week or every day you say, you know what, I'm just going to do a random act of kindness for somebody intentionally every day. What about we did some door-to-door evangelism? What about a craft evening? What about you use your home to raise the money for charity? What about you ask somebody this? Have you ever had a spiritual experience? Most people think they have. And it gives you a valid reason to share about your experience. Join a club or a course that meets so you can meet people, but make sure it's a 2-month one so you can come back to church afterwards. It doesn't have to be 2 months. You get the idea. Have a Domino and pizza night. That's random, isn't it? Play dominoes and have pizza. Doesn't have to be Domino's pizza. Start a conversation with a stranger. Maybe on a bus or a park bench. You know, just sit down to somebody. Have a conversation with them. Listen for the promptings of God. Be intentional. Sit down somewhere and say, God, I am going to sit here for a bit. Tell me who to talk to. Pray for people who are in need. Get some pocket testaments. Or get some good tracts. Make sure you've always got something in your pocket. Learn to explain the gospel in less than 2 minutes. Practice that. But then, after you finish practicing it, do it. At the end of a meeting, if there's new people in, talk to a guest for a few minutes before you talk to your friends. Remember, the people you work with need Jesus just as much as strangers. Have a film night. But be careful which film you choose. Just a little caveat there. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. Let me tell you, if you don't pray, very little is going to happen. You can do that as well. You can do what? Again, this is just a list of ideas. I'm not saying stick to this list. I'm saying at least we've given you some ideas. At least there's some stuff to get your mind thinking. Keep a list of people you're praying for. Pray for somebody every day. You know, that's just a brief list of ideas. I am sure everybody here has got better ideas than those. Well, let's do it. Let's do it. That's the key. Let's just do it. Let's use the free time in these 2 months wisely. Let me tell you, it will be the easiest thing in the world to go, woohoo, nothing at church this week, I've got the night off, and waste them. Easiest thing in the world. But it would be the most wonderful thing in the world to see somebody saved. Do things on your own, but it's better to work with other people, so have backup. Work with other people. And with everything you do, share Jesus. Bring people to Jesus there and then if you can. Doesn't have to happen here. But in all of these, even if they do make a decision there and then, invite them to church on Sunday. Everything you do, invite them to church on Sunday, where you know they will hear the gospel and they will have a chance to respond. And if they've already responded, they have a chance to confirm that response that they've already made. If you don't know how to bring somebody to Jesus, Or if you feel uncomfortable with that, ask somebody for help. Or just try it. See how it goes. What we're going to do this coming Tuesday, and this is the only midweek meeting that we will have in these 2 months, we're going to have a special school of ministry in preparation for this. We've got Paul King, who you guys all know, who goes over to Amazing Grace, as our guest, and he's going to talk about simple ways to plant seeds. He's going to talk about personal experience, times where it's gone really well for him, and times where it's gone not so well, because it's good to hear that. And he's just going to come and share and also talk about how do you bring somebody to God. And it would be great, it would be wonderful, if we could all come to that. Because let me tell you, it will do us good. It's going to equip us. It's going to get us ready to get out there and to get the job done. We sang at the start of the meeting. We come with expectation. Let's expect a great harvest. Let's believe we can do this. No, forget that. Let's believe He can do this. In these 2 months, let's all take up that dream or that challenge. Who can I bring to God? And in faith, we're putting a baptism Sunday, first weekend of March. Let me tell you, currently, there's no names on that list. We're doing it in faith. So we can baptize the people who've been saved in those 2 months. So I guess if we sum it up, what are we asking people to do? Just what Jesus told us to, really. It's not like this is a new commission. Now, I wonder if you sat there a little bit, scared, maybe. That's good. That means you're taking it seriously. But I believe as a church, if we can rise to this, God will change us. He'll change us. Not only when we see people coming to the Lord, but He will do a work in us. And I believe the more we do it, the more He'll bless it. And I believe the more He changes us. You know, evangelism can become, it's not something we do, but part of who we are. This is the focus for the next 2 months. Yeah. And in those 2 months, I believe God can do a lasting work in us. A work that goes beyond the 2 months. That can turn us into people who just live to win souls. That is what New Year, New Life is. That's what it's all about. And it's all part of preparing for revival. This year, God is saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. This is part of getting ready. There is a harvest coming. I tell you what, when revival comes, there's a harvest that comes with it. And God wants us to be ready for that. In these 2 months, we can treat these 2 months as boot camp for revival. I am really excited. First, I really believe this has come from God. And there's nothing more exciting than that. If we can rise to this, just imagine. I felt God so clearly on this, I tell you. I have no doubt this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to do it. But the question of whether it succeeds or not is up to us. He wants us to do it, but for it to work, we need to rise up and we need to meet the challenge. I wonder, who is ready to give the Isaiah response? Who will I send? Here am I. Send me.